Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Thursday, April 18th, a.k.a. Game 82. The regular season, mercifully, quite honestly, concludes tonight because I am ready for the playoffs. It feels like the playoffs most years would have started a week or 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's kind of weird to see that we're at April 18th and we haven't even gotten into the playoffs yet. Yeah. But that's where we are. The regular season comes to an end tonight. On this Thursday, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith with you, and we'll break it down our final regular season card of the NHL season. And Alex, I know both of us, we are looking forward to the playoffs, and we have ourselves, by the way, a great show lined up for you tomorrow. You think Friday there's no games, it's a day off between the end of the regular season and the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not a day off for us. We will be here tomorrow, our usual start time, 2 p.m. Eastern. We have potentially a chock full of special guests lined up for our Stanley Cup playoff preview show tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, many of whom you've already seen, by the way, on this show. Many of them are going to be people and former players you've seen already on the show in the past. So we're really looking forward to this. We're not going to give away just yet who's on, but it'll be a fun show. It'll be a packed show, and we will go through everything. We'll go through series prices, conference and Stanley Cup futures that we think have value right now. I'm even going to dive into these series props where you can bet, you know, certain players over a certain number of points or goals in the series, leading goal scorer for the series, leading point scorer for the series. I'm definitely taking a look at those markets, and we'll have all of those opinions for you tomorrow on the Friday Stanley Cup playoff preview show. Alex, definitely looking forward to that, and definitely everyone watching and listening, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be electric. And like I said, this is one of my favorite times of the betting year, especially with all the different series props. And I'm seeing more books adapting and opening up their prop menu as far as what to bet on with different series. So once we have everything solidified, of course, with the actual series, then we'll have more and more markets opening up. But I'm seeing options that were only at one or two books last year now available across the board. So that's a really good thing to see. And then we can take advantage of hopefully some good prices and some good situations.
No question. So we're definitely looking forward to the big banana. It's like a big bash tomorrow. It's going to be a big party. The Stanley Cup playoff preview show on Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to that. Beantown Friday still, of course, edition of the Ice Guys. Last night on Wednesday, of course, really the main, you know, playoff pertinent issue that needed to be decided. We'll start there since it was the one game of pertinence last night standings wise, and that was the Dallas Stars taking on the St. Louis Blues. The Dallas Stars needed, of course, to get 1 point to clinch the number one seed in the Western Conference and home ice advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs, and they did just that. And they didn't make it easy, which was good news for me, mentioning that I liked the draw yesterday on the show, +420 with the Blues and the Stars. Really good to cash that. And I said, you know what? The reasoning was the Stars are perfectly content just getting that game to overtime. And sure enough, you know, they were sluggish at the beginning, which, you know, very similar to the way they came out of the gate against Seattle in that home game over the weekend. But they did enough when they were down 1-0. They sprung to life a little bit. They eventually tied the game. And of course, it ends up going to overtime, which was good enough to give the Dallas Stars the 1 point they needed in order to get the number one seed in the Western Conference and home ice advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs. And if you look at that game as well, Yes, they won in a shootout 2-1. By that time, it had already been, you know, they'd already clinched the number one seed. But one of the more remarkable saves from that game by Jake Oettinger, he looked dead to rights in his net on a 2-on-1 rush, looked totally out of the crease. There's no way he's going to get to that. It's a wide open net for St. Louis. And sure enough, with the paddle of his goal stick, he gets the goal stick on it and somehow keeps the puck out. He just basically lays the goalie stick out there. The puck hits his goalie stick and stays out. It was just a little bit incredible, half incredible save, half good luck. That's what it was for Jake Oettinger there, but still incredible to watch. One of the more crazy saves I've seen, you know, in quite some time. And of course, Dallas ended up winning that game last night. And Jake Oettinger, another great interview he had with TNT after the game as well, as the talking about that save. Just a crazy save, just very, very peculiar. You won't see something like that very often. But the Stars end up getting the number one seed with that victory. The New York Islanders beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-4. I split here. I had a small piece of the Penguins. I had a small piece of the over in this game, so we ended up getting a split there. How about the goal props that I mentioned for the Islanders that might be live last night? We got two of them. Simon Holmstrom moving up to the second line. He scores. Cash is a north of plus 400 goal prop. And how about Casey Cizikas? Same thing for the New York Islanders. Up to the top line, and we said there's tremendous value. I almost used Casey Cizikas as goal as the bargain bin last night, but we still had a piece of Casey Cizikas. He ended up scoring, and the Islanders, even though they had everything locked up, including their first round opponent against Carolina, they knew already who they were playing. They still get the job done, a 5-4 victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins, drawing an end to a Pittsburgh season that obviously so gut-wrenching to see that they trade Gensel. Everyone leaves them for dead. They make this incredible run down the stretch to get back into the playoff hunt, only to fall just short. And by the way, happy trails and congratulations to Jeff Carter on an outstanding NHL career, announcing his retirement after the game. Just a tremendous player, two-way player, very good defensively much of his career. Obviously, his better offensive days in his career were earlier when he was younger, but he was a very good offensive player, could score, could play make, responsible away from the puck, and of course, you know, in the playoffs, you know, that's really where he showed his worth. A valuable member of all those LA Kings teams under Daryl Sutter that won multiple Stanley Cups, multiple Stanley Cup champion with the LA Kings. So congratulations, outstanding career, Jeff Carter. Very, you know, he carried himself very well. You never heard of any incidents. You never heard of any, you know, controversy with teammates or anything like that. With Jeff Carter in his career, just a consummate professional for his 19-year NHL career, almost 20 years in the NHL. Anytime someone gets to almost 20 years in the National Hockey League, they've done something right. So congratulations, Jeff Carter, and all the best in retirement, Alex. Heck of a career for him.
Yeah, fantastic career. Like I said, a huge part of those LA Kings teams, winning a couple of cups there as well. I'm sure he'll be part of their ring of honor or be, you know, memorialized in some sort of way by that franchise. But like I said, a long, nearly two decade professional career. So hats off to him. Wish him well in his retirement.
So we sure do. There's no question. Toronto, Tampa Bay. What can we say about that game? Pond hockey supreme. I guess that's the best way to call it. You could tell right away off the opening faceoff. Nobody was defending in that game early on. I mean, you're seeing odd man rushes. You're seeing clear breakaways. You're seeing no checking in front of the net to deal with someone. Absolutely no defense, especially early. Tampa Bay jumps out to the quick 2-0 lead. It also helped that we had backup goalies in both nets last night. Although, credit to Matt Tompkins. He played well, and he certainly frustrated Austin Matthews, didn't he? You can't say Austin Matthews fell short of getting 70 goals because he didn't try. He did everything but put the puck in the net. And you know, step by step, rung by rung, higher and higher. Austin Matthews, the shots on goal ladder, it got there last night, every rung of it, you know, all the way up to 9.5, which I did have a piece of last night at plus 850, plus 900. The price wasn't as good this time around. They actually made an adjustment on the Austin Matthews ladder shots on goal prop prices. Oddsmakers obviously aware of the fact he's going to shoot a lot and try to get to 70 goals. But all of that came through First period over for Alex and I came through. And a special shout out to our guest yesterday, our friend from Finland, Nikki Nevalainen, man. He said, screw this 6.5 bullshit. Get this 6.5 nonsense out of here. Give me the over 7.5 as my best bet for the Leafs and Lightning on the show yesterday for Nicholas Nevalainen. Plus 175, and that comes through as well. The alternative total, hell, you could have bet over 9.5 last night with Toronto, Tampa Bay, and you would have cashed it with that 6-4 Tampa Bay Lightning victory. So Nikita Kucherov gets his milestone. He gets his 100th assist. Congratulations to him for that. Like I said, Austin Matthews did everything but get that 70th goal last night. But 69 is what he lands on. Yeah, disappointing to not get 70, but still an incredible season as far as goal scoring for Matthews. And I like his reaction, Alex, after the game, saying that, you know what, it is what it is. I would have liked it, but I couldn't care less now. It's about the playoffs. It's about getting it done now, starting Saturday and beyond, being the best player I can be for my to help my team win. That's a great attitude. He's never made it about himself, Austin Matthews, from day one. He's got a very grounded, level-headed approach and attitude, all about the team first. He was the first guy going nuts on the bench, by the way, when Ryan Reeves scored a goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs last night, got their first goal in that game. So, you know, he's disappointed he didn't get to 70, but this is not the end of the world for him. His focus now is the playoffs, as it should be for this Toronto Maple Leafs team. 6-4, but that was a great game, Alex, for all of us, really. I mean, we all loved overs in that game. First period, full game. Yep. Again, and by the way, Nicholas Nevalainen giving us the over 7.5 with the alternative total. Do you know what that made me do, Alex? It made me seriously consider more in the future alternative totals. I've really ignored it for years. I've really just, you know, if I love an over, let's just go with the 6.5, play it safe. But no, if you really think, like, it can explode on the scoreboard and be an extreme high-scoring game, you know, don't be afraid to go with an over 7.5 or an over 8.5, you know, at a plus price. So there's going to be some games that's worth a shot. I mean, take that Dallas-Colorado game, for example, that Sunday night a couple weeks ago. I mean, if you had bet alternative totals in that game, you would have done pretty well and turned a real nice profit. So that's something that Nicholas using that as his best bet, the 7.5, has got me thinking, Alex. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to think, you know, maybe in the future, start looking at alternative totals when it makes sense.
Definitely. And as we go into the playoffs, we could really actually start using this thing the other way. Now, I know this is not really a show for unders, but obviously things get tighter and slower down the stretch. So if you see 4.5, 3.5, where, you know, a series has been played tight and you're getting 5.5, 6, you can go the other way and grab a little bit extra value there as well.
There's no question. That's an excellent point that you could definitely go in the other direction. And look, we are going to see unders in the playoffs. This is where things tighten up a little bit. And even for Mr. Over that I am, and even Alex as well, got to tighten the belt a little bit and be a little bit more selective when it comes to those. What else did we see last night? Of course, the spectacle of the night, if you will. The final game in Arizona for the Arizona Coyotes. We were all on Arizona in some form. And look, they didn't play great in that entire hockey game, quite honestly, particularly in the first period. They got the first goal, and Edmonton really controlled the first period after that, tied it up, and Arizona was kind of lucky to get out of that first period tied 1-1, which is good because I had the first period money line. I had the over bifecta in that game. It cashed. But then in the second period, they started to take over, and you could tell they were the more motivated team, the hungrier team. They just were a little step quicker to loose pucks than Edmonton, which you would expect. Edmonton's playing for exercise here these last couple of games, including tonight, which we'll get to in a moment. And Arizona does what we all hoped and expected them to do. They go out with a win in their final game in Arizona. 5-2 win over the Edmonton Oilers last night. Some of the props, I was hoping for better with some of the props. We didn't get much from Cooley or Josh Doan, but we did have Dylan Gunther to score, and I actually took over 1.5 points, which was a really nice price for him, and that got there. But the main thing is we really liked Arizona. Best bet from both me and Alex on the show last night. Arizona gets it done. Look, we've ripped the ownership. We've ripped the building. We've ripped the entire situation that Arizona's gone through here. But the loyal, dedicated, hardcore Coyote fans, and there were some in the crowd that you could see they were crying. Even that for me was difficult, and I sympathize. I empathize because for those people that showed up, and to me, those are the people that probably followed the team all year, went to games, bought merchandise. those are the people you feel bad for. Like, let's not act like nobody cares about hockey in Arizona. That's not true. The real, true, hardcore, die-in-the-wool Coyotes fans, and you saw many of them in tears last night. I felt bad. I feel bad for Clint McLean, great man, good friend of the show here. Does a great MMA podcast, by the way, Die Hard MMA podcast. Check that out. That guy can talk for 10 minutes about one fight and give you just an incredible breakdown. So make sure you check that out. Clint is a loyal Coyotes fan. I feel bad for him. And I feel bad for the people that work in the organization. Paul Bissonnette with a heartfelt message regarding the final game last night on TNT, which I appreciate. He's not in the fucking media world right now, if not for the Arizona Coyotes. Paul Bissonnette. Chicklets may not even happen for him without the Arizona Coyotes. This TNT gig he has right now may not happen without the Arizona Coyotes. And I feel for especially Tyson Nash, been there a long time, certainly sympathize with him, and more so because he's been there from day one when they moved from Winnipeg to Arizona in, what, 96 it was? Todd Walsh, believe it or not, has been there from day one. The host of the television broadcasts for the Arizona Coyotes. It's all the interviews, of course, during the intermission shows, post-game, all that. And his five-minute, the finale speech there at the end of the broadcast last night, it'll leave you with chills if you watch it. It really will. It was just so beautiful. It was so poetic. And for him in particular, you feel heartsick for him. He just talked about how hockey has given me passion in life, passion in my profession. And now that's getting taken away from Todd Walsh, who's been there now for what, 27 years, 28 years with the Arizona Coyotes from day one. Those are the people you feel awful for, and you just hope that they have good things on the horizon for them. But that Todd Walsh speech at the end of the broadcast last night, it was difficult not to feel a little emotional for that, because those are the people you feel bad for in a situation like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, at the crux of it all, we talk about the business aspects of the situation, and those are the things that were all completely beyond fucked up. But when you break it down, the people who were there the entire time supported this team throughout. And like I said, the people who worked there and devoted all of their time to this organization, that's hard. That's hard to witness. If you're a true hockey fan, you're a true sports fan, you have to feel some kind of sympathy for that group and those people who are affected in that way. It's an unfortunate situation. And the fact that it drug on for so long makes it worse. These aren't issues that just popped up overnight. This isn't a situation like you had here in Minnesota 31 years ago, where the owner's going through some bullshit, he picks up the team and leaves, or there's issues with the Canadian dollar and the team's got to go somewhere else because it's financially viable. This has been a calamity of errors leading up to it, but that never fell on the diehard fans who stayed through and true and went to the games and, like I said, bought the merchandise and supported the club no matter what. And sadly, there wasn't a big enough group of people to be part of that to keep things running. Otherwise, this may not be what we're talking about right now. But the fact of the matter is that there are people hurt by this. To see the young kids' faces, because some of them don't understand what's going on. They just know
they're the ones paying the ultimate price for this debacle that's going on with ownership and the building. Yeah.
And so that's why it is great to hear that youth hockey is still doing well in Arizona, and that can continue to grow. That Arizona State now being a Division I program, that can help continue to grow. The talk of the Tucson franchise now moving to Tempe, and which will more than likely be the AHL feeder club for Utah, whatever the Utah name will be. That's great for that area to still have some semblance of hockey being in town. It's not NHL, but at least you still have the game and the sport around in the area, and that's important. And people talk about, if they get a team again, and then they talk about this ownership group. This ownership group with Alex Marullo shouldn't have anything to do with hockey in any form or fashion. When you look at what they did last night, they canceled the tailgate that was supposed to be outside of the arena about 30 minutes into it because they realized that there were going to be so many people there. They didn't have their shit together as far as like on the area around the campus and in the Tempe area. They just shut it down and ended up moving it to another lot. So the reason why
we fucked up, you can't have any fun. That's it.
That's been the moral of the story with this ownership group and the last ownership group and the ownership group before that. is that because of our mistakes, now the fans and all these other people have to suffer, and it's completely asinine. So if there ever is an NHL team in the state of Arizona again, you got to get the ownership right, and you got to get a building together. Those things have to be paramount before you do anything else, before we even bring it up the conversation again. Those two things have to be locks. We don't use that word often on this show, but those have to be locks before you ever talk about having a National Hockey League franchise in that state.
Yeah, no doubt. That's absolutely. And look, I'll be honest. I'm not so sure, you know, Salt Lake City, Utah, I know the players, you know, it's going to be a lifestyle change. I'm not sure they're going to be thrilled about.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the ownership situation with Utah taking over here with this franchise, I like what I'm seeing and hearing from Ryan Smith. I do. It's just a question of, can he get the following? Can he get the support from the fan base? Can they just gravitate to this team? Because really, they've got it set up on a platter for them, because this team's about to just, you know, build into a potential golden age. Like, they've still got work to do on the blue line. They do have to shore up the defense and goaltending. But I'll take this forward group right up there. How good is fucking Dylan Gunther going to be in a few years?
Yeah.
This guy is something else. I know Cooley was great. Keller, obviously, a mainstay here, has had a nice run with the Coyotes. Josh Doan, we've seen him burst onto the scene. But how friggin' good is Dylan Gunther going to be? I'm just seeing him. He's turning into a little Wyatt Johnston for Arizona, where he's good away from the puck. He's an incredible scorer. He can set his teammates up as well. He's responsible, too, away from the puck. I mean, my goodness, wait till you see him in a year or two or three from now. But they are loaded at forward, and they are set up to have a nice a team that's fun to watch, a team that's exciting to watch, and a team that's going to be contending for the playoffs, you know, in the next few years for that Utah market. And now they just need everyone to jump on board. That's what it's going to come down to there. We'll definitely have to see how it goes. There's no question. But that forward group, man, the more I watch them, especially down the stretch when they had that respectable finish to the season post All-Star break, Arizona, man, they are going to be something. They are going to have firepower. They're going to be shitting goals out of their ass. They have firepower galore, Arizona, moving forward.
And you know, I just want to say one more thing, too. I mean, I know, obviously, the emotion and the heat of the moment, and everybody you heard throughout the night, Salt Lake sucks, Salt Lake sucks. It's not Salt Lake's fault that they're getting the team. You know, this you know, this is a city that's been, you know, wanting to be on the fringe of getting a potential, you know, higher pro hockey franchise for a while, and they end up just being the rewarding city of a casualty of situations. But this isn't on Salt Lake City. It'd be like people in Winnipeg chastising Phoenix, which of course did happen actually in 1996. But you know, it's situational. So to the people of Salt Lake City, you know, and that's the biggest thing too, right? For the people of Salt Lake City, they ought to take this as a cautionary tale and lesson. Y'all better show up. Y'all better show up, because they will not hesitate to pull this shit if it's a half-empty building 2, 3, 4 years from now, because of the fact that this already failed once. In essence, if you go further back, it essentially failed twice. You guys got to show up and support the team and show up through thick and thin. And maybe you don't end up being a team like Vegas or Seattle and having a great first or second season. You might go through some growing pains like some of the older expansion franchises, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. You want to have professional hockey, you got to show up and support the club. Otherwise, they will not hesitate to move you to another city.
Yep, that's the way it's going to be. Yep, exactly. Support is needed. We will see if, like I say, if the Utah, if Salt Lake City, Utah can deliver. That's what it's going to end up boiling down to when it's all said and done. All right. Alex has made it known to me before the show, he's not in love with this Thursday NHL card, this final day of the regular season, not by any stretch of the imagination. We'll see if he can find. I've still got my usual smorgasbord of bets, but we'll see if maybe we can talk Alex into anything here on this Thursday card. We will begin with the Seattle Kraken taking on the Minnesota Wild. We've got Minnesota -160 home favorites. The total six here. Pretty much across the board in this one. Minnesota, Seattle, both eliminated. So really there's nothing much on the line here when it comes to this game. Looks like Marc-Andre Fleury in net for the Minnesota Wild, fresh off a one-year contract extension. He is back in the fold. And I get that feeling, Alex. This is him. He loves the game so much, coming back for another year. I think this is also help mentor young Jesper Wallstedt. I think that's going to be part of it as well. Let's make sure we get him, you know, comfortable more in the NHL. And I think that definitely is part of the onus on trying to keep, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury around next season. He'll be in net tonight. Looks like Joey Decord is going to get the start for Seattle, although that's not confirmed. Some sites have Grubauer projected. Vince Dunn is out. Tolvanen, game time decision. And Marcus Foligno out for the Minnesota Wild. This is the final home game. You know very well, since you're there in St. Paul, Minnesota, a lot of years, even when during the down years, this is a Minnesota team that likes to send the fans home happy, the final home game. There's probably an onus on them to do that. So this is one where I'm going to go with a split with the first period puck line and Minnesota in regulation. That's the way I'm going to approach this. Smaller bets here for me. For the sides are definitely smaller bets. There's actually some totals I really like. But definitely, I think first period, Minnesota puck line, first period and full game in regulation, which you can get close to around minus 110, minus 115 or so. I definitely think that is worth a look. This is a game, too, where I'm going to do a small over bifecta as well. I'm doing that with a lot of these games, especially the two teams totally out of it. Roll the puck out, score some goals. I could definitely see that here tonight. I'm a little more reluctant to do that with Seattle because we've still seen them have trouble seeing their games go over the total. That being said, the Winnipeg game they last played did go over. It ended up 4-3 Winnipeg. So a little over bifecta and a little Wild split between first period puck line and Wild in regulation. Alex, what do you think here, Seattle, Minnesota?
Yeah, this is definitely a good spot to take Wild in regulation. The thing is the price is just a little bit high. I'm seeing $1.30, $1.35. And I'm guessing the books are kind of adjusted those numbers, knowing that people are going to be kind of hitting the Wild a little bit heavier. Usually on a minus 160, you'd be getting a regulation price of $1.15, $1.20. So shop around. If you find something cheaper, I would definitely endorse that, as well as the first period over. That's something I probably will end up having in pocket. Minus $1.20 is the price I see for over 1.5. I think the Wild could come out hot and early. We get a couple of goals and cash that, and they could ride that to victory within 60 minutes.
Milestone props. We have two. Jared McCann looking to get to 30 goals. He just needs one. I'll bet his goal prop. Matt Boldy needs 30 goals. Needs one goal, I should say, just to get to 30 goals. I'll be on that as well. So, clear emphasis, I think, for Matt Boldy for Minnesota. Jared McCann for Seattle to score a goal tonight to get to that 30-goal plateau. In fact, a lot of my props are players looking for milestone numbers here tonight on this final night of the regular season in game 82. And those are two of them right here in this game. McCann for Seattle and Boldy for Minnesota. All right, next up, we've got not Pittsburgh Islanders. That was yesterday. Next up, we've got Vancouver and Winnipeg. Even money here in this game. This opened with Winnipeg minus 135 home favorites. We've seen a lot of money come in here on the Canucks. And if you see the lineup configuration for Rick Bowness and the Winnipeg Jets here tonight, you will see why. There are a couple of key regulars sitting and resting tonight in this final game. We've got even money, total 5.5 here in this game. This is one where I'm just going to take a piece of the full game over 5.5. You're going to give me over 5.5, minus 120 in a very relaxed environment, atmosphere, where the Jets are locked into playing Colorado. Vancouver's locked into playing Nashville in the first round. You're going to get some younger guys in the lineup, eager to prove themselves. That's usually more of a positive for offensive things to happen, more so than defensive. And I think that's probably what you're going to see. We'll start with the changes for Vancouver, because Vancouver has got a couple guys out as well. Ian Cole out, Philip Ronick on the blue line, also out for Vancouver. Brock Besser and JT Miller out tonight for Vancouver. So as of now, it looks like their lineup configuration will be Hoglander, Pettersson, and Mikheyev on the top line. Pius Suter, Elias Lindholm, and Connor Garland on the second line. Joshua Bluger, Lafferty, the third line. Vasily Podkolzin, who might, by the way, I'm going to sprinkle on his prop tonight just because he got a contract extension. You know, the contract bump. I remember Alex cashed with Gus Forsling for Florida earlier in the year. Contract extension, scored in the first game after signing the new deal. So that's Vasily Podkolzin here for Vancouver. I know he's only going to be on the fourth line, but hey, you know, it might be worth a look in this game just because of that. He'll be playing with Nils Åman and Phil. He's back in the lineup. Actually, it's been a healthy scratch lately, but he's back tonight. It's not delivery. It's DiGiuseppe, Phil DiGiuseppe on the fourth line for Vancouver. And then for Winnipeg, I think the reason why the money's come in on the Canucks is because there's a lot more absences for the Jets. No Brendan Dillon and Josh Morrissey, by far their best defensemen on the blue line. No Vladdy Namestnikov. The captain, Adam Lowry, is sitting out tonight. Morgan Barron is sitting out tonight. And one of the hottest Jets forwards lately down the stretch is also out, Kyle Connor. He won't play tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. So I think that's part of the reason why we've seen the money come in here toward Vancouver Canucks, and probably because Thatcher Demko is starting tonight for Vancouver. Even with this game not meaning anything, this is all about Rick Tocchet trying to get Thatcher Demko in a playing rhythm, in a playing every other day type of rhythm and routine before game one starts against Nashville over the weekend. So I'm not at all shocked that they are going with Thatcher Demko. This is not one of those deals where, hey, Thatcher Demko's played a shit ton of hockey, we need to rest him for the playoffs. No, they actually want to give him some run. They want to give him some work here down the stretch to get him ready for game one. That's my only concern, too, with the over, is he looked pretty damn good considering he'd been out for a long time in that last game for Vancouver. But I still expect a very lackadaisical defensively, but no one's going to block shot. No one's going to go above and beyond to block shots here in this game with the playoffs right around the corner. So piece of the over 5.5. And there are some good props that I like here in this game as well. There's some things we want to mention here as far as that goes. But Winnipeg, some of these players that are going to be in the lineup called up from the AHL to take over because of who's out. Nikita Shibrikov, although he's going to be down on the fourth line, Nikita Shibrikov, the big one that's going to be called up from the Manitoba Moose, and he's going to play on the second line. Brad Lambert is a guy that's a very good prospect here in the Winnipeg organization, and he is going to be making his NHL debut, and Rick Bowness is putting him on a line that's going to give him an opportunity tonight with Gabe Vilardi, one of the best forwards going on the team right now, and Alex Iafallo. So Brad Lambert's going to get this tremendous opportunity here tonight. 30th overall pick in the first round, 2022. In the AHL this year, his number's pretty good with the Moose. I'm definitely going to be looking at Brad Lambert to maybe crack the back of the net here in his NHL debut here tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. Certainly Vilardi props, it goes without saying with how amazing he has been for the Jets. And we've also mentioned Monahan, who's been great down the stretch. And Monahan's also playing tonight with Ehlers and Toffoli. So all those props for Winnipeg are of interest to me. And yes, Connor Garland, not only because he's been great down the stretch, not only because he's moved up to the second line again tonight with Miller and Besser out, but because Connor Garland just needs one more goal to get to 20 on the season. So he's at 19 goals. Again, a milestone number for Connor Garland. 19 goals on the season for the Vancouver Canucks and just needs one to get to 20 goals. So Connor Garland goal, Connor Garland point prop, but specifically the goal prop to get to 20. That's worth a look here tonight as well, I think, for Vancouver in this game. Alex, what do you think here? Canucks, Jets.
I got nothing in this one. This is a complete pass for me. Like I said, it makes sense with Vancouver getting the money, taking money with Demko, wanting to sharpen the sword one more time before getting ready for the playoffs. Like I said, you got some younger guys coming up for the Jets. This maybe could be one of those back and forth games, but there's no reason for me to jump in on this one. It's a pass.
Yeah, people in the chat, you're right. The last time Vancouver and Chicago played on the same night. Yes, the Dick Hogg goal parlay cashed in. Dickinson for Chicago and Hoaglander for Vancouver. It's true. They both scored the other night. Dickinson scored against Vegas, and Hoaglander scored against, who the hell did they play? Calgary the other night. Yep. I'm not going to tell you don't bet it. I think it's kind of random if they're both going to score again on the same night, but. And I know we love betting it just because it sounds funny, the Dick Hogg parlay of the night. But nevertheless, hey, you never know. Maybe Jason Dickinson will score tonight for Chicago against L.A., and maybe we will see Nils Hoaglander. And Nils Hoaglander, look, he is worth a look because he's again on the top line here tonight for the Vancouver Canucks. So I'm not going to say no. That's for sure. All right, San Jose, Calgary. Next up, we've got the Calgary Flames -260 home favorites, 6.5 being the total here in this game tonight. I did take San Jose the last time, a piece of San Jose the last time they played in Calgary, and I'm tempted to do so again here. Like, do we really need Calgary to be a -260 home favorite in a meaningless game like this? And look, San Jose just got totally, totally destroyed by Edmonton and embarrassed. You know, if there's any sort of semblance and shred of dignity and pride, it's a bad hockey team. I get it. Don't you come out and at least try to battle here tonight against Calgary after a game like that? So I'm tempted to sprinkle just something very tiny on San Jose +220, but I like over here a lot. This is actually one of my favorite totals. I don't see where the defense is played. This reminds me of that. Remember that Calgary game on the weekend, Alex, against Arizona? Pond hockey supreme. You know, I think at home against the Coyotes, I think it could be something similar to that here tonight. It's Devin Cooley, it looks like, in net tonight for the Sharks, and we know what happened to him last game against Edmonton. It was ugly. Now, is he going to want to play better? Can he play better? This is also a guy that stood on his head against Seattle and made 50 saves, but I don't know if I can bank on that happening. I would say right now Calgary's got a little more firepower offensively than Seattle, so I think it's still going to be a little bit of a tricky night for Devin Cooley. He'll want to bounce back after that Edmonton shellacking, but will he bounce back is the real question here. Dustin Wolf will be in net here tonight for the Calgary Flames in this final game. It looks like, by the way, like I said, San Jose beat them 6-3 here in Calgary earlier this year. It's another reason why I like the over. San Jose, two of their last three games have gone over the, or Calgary, two of their last three games have gone over the total. Back-to-back San Jose games have gone over the total. They've given up 15 goals, by the way, the last two games combined against Minnesota and Edmonton. So been pretty ugly. Over kind of a no-brainer here for me at over 6.5 here. It went up from 6 to 6.5. I agree with that. And there are a lot of props here, believe it or not, that stand out. Michael Granlund needs 1 point for 60. So if you can find Michael Granlund for San Jose, you know, point prop. He's actually had a pretty good season for them, albeit on a very bad hockey team. 60 points, just needs one. So Granlund to get a point makes sense. And then we have a few goal prop, goal milestone numbers here in this game on the Calgary side. Nazem Kadri needs one goal to get to 30. Blake Coleman needs one goal to get to 30. Although I'm seeing in the injury report right now, Coleman's not a given to play tonight from what I'm seeing. We'll have to see, but I know he's been banged up. He's been day-to-day the last few days. He didn't play on Tuesday against Vancouver. He's missed four straight games. Huska said he's hopeful he'll be able to return.
I think Ian's computer froze. He must pop back in a few seconds here.
All right, we're back. Sorry about that. But yeah, I think he's going to play Blake Coleman when it's all said and done. That would be my guess, is that we will see Blake Coleman tonight because I don't think he would play through exorbitant amounts of pain to get to be on the ice to get to 30 goals. But I think it's still something he's looking for because I don't think he's been had a 30-goal season before in the NHL. So I think he's going to try to gut it out. If he does play, we'll be on the Coleman goal prop for sure, 100%. Try to get to 30.
I wish we could get the breakdown of players' contracts like we do in the NFL, because if he has a bonus for 30 goals, you can better believe he's going to be playing through whatever injury to try to get that.
Well, Slavkovsky had one for Montreal, and sure enough, he got that bonus because he scored against Detroit the other night.
Yeah. Yep. So that's a bit, that would be if we had that kind of information, then we could adjust. Obviously, the books would have it too, but then we could make a kind of better assessment of those spots.
Yeah, I think definitely there's probably some kind of bonus in line here for Blake Coleman if he gets to 30 goals tonight. So yeah, I'd be very much interested in Blake Coleman to find the back of the net here if he does play tonight for the Calgary Flames here. In this matchup. All right, next up, it is Edmonton and Colorado. Normally, we go bonkers and with excitement whenever the Oilers and the Avs play, but this is kind of an exhibition game, obviously, for these two teams, with Edmonton locked into their standing. Although Edmonton doesn't know who they're playing yet, in the first round. But there's nothing they can do tonight themselves to influence who they play in the first round. They can't do anything about it. It's going to come down to what LA and Vegas do in the later games as to determining Edmonton's opponent. Edmonton can't control that at all. It all depends on what LA and Vegas do later in the night. So it's Colorado minus 210 home favorites in this game. The total here is 6.5 across the board, pretty much shaded to the over. A lot of money's come in on Colorado, and it's a, you know, it's an Edmonton team that's playing second night of back-to-back games on the road. You know, totally meaningless game. We saw last night they played Arizona. It the game just did not matter to the Oilers as much as it did, certainly emotionally, to the Arizona Coyotes. They lose 5-2. I don't want Edmonton, and I kind of think Colorado needs to put a good showing on the board here. They need to. I don't think if you're Colorado, I know it's a game that, you know, when it's all said and done, it's going to come down to what you do in the playoffs. I get that. But I think when you look at the situation here right now for the Colorado Avalanche, they need some feel-good vibes going into Game 1 against Winnipeg. They need it badly. So I'm not convinced this is a game that they should slough off, and I'm not convinced this is a game that they will slough off and just, you know, play it like it's you're playing for exercise. You know, they kind of need to have a response here after what we saw over the weekend, getting fucking hammered by Winnipeg 7-0, getting blowing a 3-0 lead against Vegas in the third period and losing 4-3 to the Golden Knights. So, look, I said on Sunday when we teed up the Vegas game against Colorado, I said, if Colorado's worth a shred of pride or dignity in their system, they're going to come out strong against Vegas. And they did. You know, they were up 2-0 after the first period. They led 3-0 with what, 6 minutes or at the end of the second period, you know, and sure enough in the third period, the roof caved in on them. But I do think there's an, Colorado will have a good opening to this game. And Edmonton, like I said, don't know if they're going to be resting players as of now. It looks like it's going to be a similar lineup to last night. I'm seeing it's just CC, Kane, and Nurse, the same three that were out last night on the injury report. So it's fair to assume, at least as of right now, that you will see Connor McDavid, you will see Leon Draisaitl, you will see Zach Hyman, the Nuge, you will see Bouchard on the blue line. But for Colorado, I'm not seeing, you know, for them, too many players being rested at all tonight for them, other than who's already out, which is Girard on the blue line, Logan O'Connor, and of course Landeskog up front. Everyone else looks in tonight, although the only change is Justus Onanen is going to be a net tonight for the Colorado Avalanche and not Georgiev, and that's smart. While you want to get Georgiev back on track and you want to get Georgiev feeling good going into the playoffs, I think rest at this point is even better for him. You know, recharge the batteries, recharge the mind, get your fucking head right, and be ready to go for game one. Now, is that going to matter in the end for a guy that's really been struggling and scuffling here down the stretch? Maybe not, but it's going to be on and in here tonight for Colorado, and I think it's right. You just got to give, just park Georgiev for now and say, get your mind right, get in a good headspace, you know, conserve your energy, recharge the batteries, get some rest, get a mental break, and be ready for game one against Winnipeg. But that doesn't change my thoughts that I think there's a lot of goals tonight. We saw the over last night with Edmonton. So I'm going to go first period over, full game over, over bifecta. And I'm also going to take a shot, Alex, with the team total first period looks that cashed for me against Vegas with Colorado on Sunday. Because I don't want to worry about if they give up goals. I'm done with the puck lines for Colorado in the first period. I'm done worrying about, oh, are they going to give up a goal and screw the puck line up for me? Over bifecta. And we take out the worries about the defense and the goaltending that are resonating and permeating right now for the Avs by just taking the team totals. And again, we go to BetMGM for this, which I love BetMGM for this. It's the best attribute. One of the best attributes they have about betting NHL hockey is how you can bet the first period team totals at that book. You select the periods tab, you go to Colorado Avalanche first period goals, and you'll see over one plus 100, over 1.5 plus 195. I like that. That's what we're going to do. We're going to split it up with both of them. Over one plus 100 first period, and over 1.5 plus 195 first period team total as well for Colorado to go along with the over bifecta here in this game tonight. Matt Robinson just hammering away. Aren't you supposed to be working today, Matt? That's why you're not on the show today. It was supposed to be an in-person meeting. What the hell happened to that? I'm kidding, of course. Probably over already. But Matt's going to be back with us on Saturday, by the way. He's going to join us Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific time for the Saturday show. And it'll be me. It'll be Alex. It'll be Matt. And I think it might be Zach Urban, too. I think he's in for Saturday, rejoining us on his usual Saturday spot. So it'll be a nice show. And by the way, I should mention, great segue to mention that we don't have a Sunday show this weekend. No Sunday edition of the Ice Guys here this weekend. It's going to be Saturday. We're going to do every game for the weekend in the Stanley Cup playoffs. All four game ones, we will preview them on Saturday. The two on Saturday and the two on Sunday. So there will be no Sunday Ice Guys show. We'll have the Saturday show, and then we'll be back on Monday, which will be a doubleheader day, daily show and BetCast coming up on Monday. All right, Alex, what do you think here in this one, Edmonton, Colorado?
As I keep laughing because Kevin Weeks just posted a video of some crazy shit outside his hotel room here in St. Paul. It's the usual crazy old downtown St. Paul shit. But anyway, this game's a pass for me as well. Like I said, Colorado, it makes sense for them to want to try and win this game and, like I said, shake off the negatives of hey, we're heading in to, you know, whiteout country against a team that crushed us at home. But then it's Eustace Onanen. And like I said, you can't trust him to just hold down the fort. And Edmonton, they, you know, and they were talking about this during the Yota broadcast last night. Edmonton, you know, they are one win away from 50. That is a bit of a milestone. Maybe they'd want to, you know, try and say, hey, we lost last night. Maybe we want to show a little bit more effort and get a win here. Maybe pad some stats as well. So it's a tricky game. If I look for something, I'll watch it, you know, a little bit of it, maybe grab something live, but nothing pregame in them now.
Yeah, I say Henrique and Fogle again for Edmonton. Henrique is on the top line and still remains a little undervalued. Fogle scored again on the second line with Draisaitl last night against Arizona. He got one of the two goals for them. So Warren Fogle, you know, is worth a look once again. And for Colorado, I would say right now, Drouin, I really like Drouin tonight because Drouin's another milestone guy. Drouin needs one more goal to get to 20. So 20 goal season for Jonathan Drouin if he can score tonight for the Colorado Avalanche. So Jonathan Drouin, goal prop definitely makes sense. Actually, you know what? It's true, Rich H. Matt, actually, in all seriousness, Matt does deserve a day off today because the work he did on Tuesday, because Alex was away Tuesday, it would have been me doing the show solo. He stepped in, and he felt like shit the entire day. Like he was clearly under the weather, not 100%, definitely sick, and he persevered through it. He did the Tuesday show. He joined us on the BetCast for a good chunk of it. Definitely. Well done by Matt, and hopefully he's feeling a little bit better now. Ekholm goal. I know Rocco's been on that. Percy in the chat mentioning that. Lekkonen's worth a look. Big Val does feel due, Rocco, but you're right. He's been cold a little bit lately, and that's not what you want. That's not what you want if you're Colorado. You need him going in the playoffs, so it'll be interesting to see if he can ramp things up for Colorado offensively once the playoffs begin for them when they take on the Winnipeg Jets. All right, Anaheim and Vegas next up here. We've got Vegas minus 400, home favorites, 6 the total here in this game. It looks like as far as this matchup is concerned, we've got Aiden Hill confirmed in net for the Vegas Golden Knights. Lukas Dostal is projected, although not yet confirmed, to be the starting goalie tonight for the Anaheim Ducks in this game. You know, I think it's pretty simple here when you look at this one, and it is simple as far as the permutations are concerned. For Vegas, they clinch the third seed in the Pacific Division, and Edmonton is their first-round opponent if they win this game in any fashion. Doesn't matter. Regulation, overtime, shootout, doesn't matter. Vegas wins this game. They're the third seed in the Pacific, and they will face the Edmonton Oilers in the first round of the playoffs. But I saw a Vegas team against Chicago that looked a little lethargic, especially for the first two periods the other night, although they did crank it up in the third, and they took over, and they ended up cruising to victory in the third period over Chicago. This is just certainly from a side perspective. I don't want to do anything with this game. I don't want to lay anything like this with Vegas. I don't trust Anaheim enough. I could trust the over at 6. I could. You know, you look at Vegas. I don't want to say they're an over team suddenly, because I think in the playoffs they could kind of transition the other way again, get that defense back in order. Maybe Aiden Hill's just waiting for the playoffs to get here, ramp his game back up to the level we saw in that run to the Stanley Cup last year. But right now, Vegas, it's amazing how many overs they've played down the stretch. They are currently on a 5-1-1 over run, the Golden Knights, in their last seven games. They've had no problem scoring goals. They're averaging nearly 4 goals per game in their last 12 games. Their goals per game average in the last 12 games is 3.9. They've been scoring goals quite a bit lately. So if they get to 4, you know, can Anaheim get you at least 2? At least get a push out of this game? I think it's possible. So that's the only bet I made. I made a little over 6 here, minus 120. As far as props go for this game, this is another one where we've got a couple milestones. We've got Ivan Barbashev, 1 goal away from 20. He's at 19. He'll be looking to find the back of the net tonight. Mason McTavish, an injury-riddled season for Anaheim, but he's 1 goal away from 20, which would be pretty impressive considering the time that Mason McTavish missed due to injury earlier this season for the Ducks. So Mason McTavish can get 20 goals with just 1 here tonight in this game. So those are 2 milestones that stand out, Barbashev and McTavish, no question about it. And the kid from Boston College, he might be a little brash. It's starting to look that way. Cutter Gauthier, especially with the comment he made, he ended up eating shit for it, that comment that he made about before the BC Denver championship game, that video clip of him saying, you know, they're going to be shedding a few tears after the game tonight. No, wasn't the case. Denver beat you in that championship game. So he's got that little brash attitude to him, Cutter Gauthier. But no to not, whatever you think of him and the way he's acted and what he did spurning Philadelphia the way he did. I know the Flyers fans still hate his guts for that. I can't wait to when Cutter Gauthier plays in Philadelphia the first time. That's going to be an electric environment. But as a hockey player, this kid's the real deal. He's terrific. He's a lethal offensive player. He's going to make his NHL debut tonight for the Anaheim Ducks in this game. And it looks like Greg Cronin is putting him on the top line with Alex Killorn and Leo Carlson. So how about that for a welcome to the NHL to Cutter Gauthier? Not only are you debuting, but you're going to be on the top line tonight for me here in your first NHL game. So I think just by default, you got to take a shot here with Cutter Gauthier, maybe to light the lamp here in his very first NHL game. His goal prop is plus 550 at FanDuel. And keep in mind, this is a guy that's going to be on the top line, it looks like, as of right now for the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Alex, what do you think here? Ducks, Golden Knights.
Yeah, I definitely will be adding that. And, you know, that's going to be the thing for Cutter. You got to learn that if you go talk shit like that, you got to back it up. So, like I said, he's got a target on his back already about how the things went in Philly. Like I said, kind of just being that brash young guy. But you got to step up and deliver. So he's getting the chance to do that. And that's a price worth taking a shot with to see if he can do it. Other than that, I'm staying away from this game. Everything just way too high priced on the Vegas end. Anaheim's just such an untrustworthy team as far as getting goals and bunches to go over a total, so it's a pass.
All right, it is a pass here for Alex on this one. So, yeah, over and a few props that I mentioned right there in this game for the most part for me. Although there is one I didn't mention and he's worth a look, is Dorofeev. Dorofeev continues to be really, really solid for the Vegas Golden Knights, and he looks like he's going to be a pretty solid, consistent NHL offensive production man here for the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward. But it's been a nice season, definitely, for Pavel Dorofeev. All right, final game of the season. This is it, Alex. How many regular season games have we previewed on the Ice Guys show this season? I never know what the official number of regular is. It's obviously 3,000.
Is it 3,400 and something?
Yeah. There's how many teams in the NHL right now? 32. So it's 82 times 32. We're going to punch this in the calculator right now. 82 times 32.
2624.
2,624 regular season games that we have been here to talk about and preview.
Yep.
That's unbelievable. You just realize it when you come to the end of the regular season, how many games you and I have talked about this season. And every season on the show, because we've done this now for years, every game, every day during the regular season. We talk over 2,000 600 NHL regular season games on this show. Wow. Yep. That is something. And this is the last one. Chicago, Los Angeles, Kings minus 360, home favorites, six the total, shaded to the under here in this game. Now, LA is going to be watching very closely what's going on in Vegas because they have this three seed in the Pacific Division out of their hands. It's out of their control. They have to beat Chicago, and they have to hope that Vegas loses to Anaheim, or they can get 1 point against Chicago in a regular, in an overtime or a shootout loss. And if Vegas then loses to Anaheim in regulation, that would be another way that LA could leapfrog Vegas for third in the Pacific. I don't think it's happening because I don't think Vegas is going to lose. And so I think it's going to be Edmonton versus Vegas. And I think it's going to be Dallas versus LA, but never say never. You know, it is that crazy, weird night, and you never know what's going on through each individual player on the Kings and the Golden Knights. How much do they want, you know, to go balls to the wall in this final game to solidify positioning? So we could see a flip-flop, too. You can't rule it out completely. Maybe we will see LA Edmonton for a third straight year in the first round. Maybe we will see Vegas fall down to play Dallas instead in the first round. So, again, that's all to be determined. But as far as this game goes, this is the one game tonight where I could almost consider the draw because I just get that weird feeling. I mean, I saw LA the other night against Minnesota. I didn't love what I saw, quite honestly, from them. They kind of look like they are in the mode right now of, well, you know, let's get the playoffs going. They're like Alex and I, LA. Let's just get the playoffs going right now. You know, I was not impressed by that loss to Minnesota. It didn't look like they had that motor running at a high level that night. And I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be all that much higher tonight with, you know, Chicago coming into town. We'll see. Chicago's lost five in a row, of course. They lost 3-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights the other night. This is definitely, for me, not really a whole lot here, side or total. You would think, you know, because this is the one game I don't really like the over. I don't feel good about the over because LA, you know, if they're fast asleep, the game's not going over. You know, we're going to see a dull, plodding 3-1, 3-2, 4-1 type of game like the other night against Minnesota for the Kings. That's what worries me about this over. Like, I actually can make a decent case for the over in every other game tonight, but this is the one that I'm a little hesitant with. So for me, maybe I sprinkle a little on the draw. Other than that, side or total, nothing for me pregame. Alex, what do you think here? Chicago, your Blackhawks, wrapping up the season in La La Land.
Well, full game over might be a little dicey because of six. And like you said, LA could just dominate the pace, slow things down, and drain this out to a 3-1, 3-2 game. But I think we do see some goals early. And that's because the starting goaltender for the Blackhawks for the last time this season, and I pray that he's gone this summer. And so last
time is Soderblom. Oh, yes.
In a Hawks uniform. It is Arvid Soderblom in that. 7-34-3, his career record with the Chicago Blackhawks. That's 37 losses in 49 appearances. I'm going the first period over 1.5. I got minus $1.22 that's available at FanDuel. I'll have a little bit of LA team total over 3.5 there as well. And there's a couple player props. I like Connor Bedard, anytime goal plus 230. He's had a fantastic year. I'm sure he'd love to get one more goal that should definitely would solidify everything as far as him getting the Calder Trophy and just going out, you know, having a good season. It's been a tough up and down year for him. Obviously his first year in the league. And there's another Bedard prop that I like. I'll talk about a little bit later.
All right, there we go. A little tease for the Bargain Bin Special of the Night segment coming up. Yeah, I mean, now the Soderblom in, yep. Yeah, I could make a case for the Kings team total. Minus 138 is what I'm seeing with that at Pinnacle right now. LA team total over 3.5.
Play it smaller.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the best price. And even with Soderblom's concerns and struggles, and we know we don't trust him, but is LA good enough to light him up for four goals? Because if they bring the lethargic type of game they brought the other night against Minnesota, they may not even get four goals tonight, even against this guy. So that's what makes this game a little bit tricky overall. I like Fiala to get a goal, though, for LA. He's been pretty good, of course, all season, really, for the LA Kings. No question about that, but definitely can make a case for his a goal prop tonight for LA. Yeah, Jason Dickinson. I know the Dick Hog parlay, that belief remains strong with everybody. Here's one that's interesting. Alex Laferriere up to the top line here with Kopitar and Kempe for the LA Kings tonight. So Alex Laferriere, and he's not from Quebec. He's from New Jersey. He's American. Don't be fooled by the last name. Alex Laferriere, plus 500 at points bet to score a goal tonight. Not bad if he's going to play with Kopitar and Kempe on the top line here tonight for the LA Kings. All right, there we have it. We have gotten through the regular season, if you can believe it. And now let the good times roll. The Stanley Cup playoffs are here. And tomorrow, you don't want to miss it. Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Special guests galore, friends of the show that have been on in the past. It's going to be a fun show. We're going to break down the Stanley Cup playoffs, our full betting preview of the playoffs from every angle. Series prices, futures, conference and Stanley Cup futures, series props, which I can't wait to talk about. Leading goal score, point score, most assists in a series. Over six and a half goals in a series for a player, that kind of stuff. We'll be talking about those markets, the series props on the show tomorrow. So we can't wait. It's our full Ice Guys Stanley Cup playoffs betting preview show bonanza, and it'll be a lot of fun, I guarantee.
Can you drop one of the names for the people of who's going to be on tomorrow?
Well, it's someone that apparently we've seen a little Twitter beef develop here over the last couple of days. A little playful jabbing back and forth about the whole Arizona situation. Yes, our good friend Eddie Lack will be with us tomorrow on the show. And he did say he wanted to have it out with Alex on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, we will discuss that situation.
In good fun, of course. There's no malicious intent or anything. But, yeah, it's all in good fun. I'm going to come back at him, too, and because he makes good points about the fact that there's loyal fans. But at the same time, I'm going to throw back at him, and maybe Alex will, too. Are you that concerned and that backing up Arizona if you're not living there right now and peddling in real estate there right now like you are?
Yeah, that's the point.
That's true. That's why he's so defensive when it comes to any negative Arizona Coyotes slander. No question. But yeah, Eddie will be with us, and we've got a couple others too, which we'll keep a secret for tomorrow. So looking forward to that tomorrow. It's going to be a fun Friday Stanley Cup playoff betting preview show. And again, this weekend we'll be on just on Saturday, noon Eastern, our regular 11 a.m. Central, our regular Saturday time. And we'll talk about the entire weekend of playoff games, Saturday and Sunday games. We will talk about on Saturday's show. We'll be off Sunday, which will be good. We'll be all rested, full energy, ready to go for Monday when we have our doubleheader daily show and our playoff betcast, our first playoff betcast Monday night, which we are very much looking forward to. And speaking of that betcast, get the schedule up. Here we go. There it is. Monday, April 22nd, 7 p.m. Eastern. First Stanley Cup playoff live betcast. This one is going to be free for all. Everyone can join us on Monday night. And then we have two Patreon exclusive Stanley Cup playoff live betcasts, Thursday, April 25th, Tuesday, April 30th. Make sure you sign up and subscribe at patreon.com/iceguys for that. Just $10 per month to get access to tune in and join us to those two Patreon exclusive live betcasts and all the rest of the Patreon betcasts for the rest of the playoffs, our daily sides totals and player props posted on the page, goalie charts, totals charts, and more. Patreon.com/iceguys, $10 per month. Now's the time to sign up and also check out the store. Get your gear and your merch at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Just quickly want to make a note about with the Patreon page. I will have a updated setup of goalie charts. Once we have, it'll just be all the playoff teams. I will also have some extra notes that'll be thrown in there as well. So expect that to be up sometime tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. Have that ready. That'll hopefully have that lined up kind of right before we go live with the playoff preview. So definitely want to check that out over at patreon.com. But also check out the merch. It's starting to get warm as hell just about everywhere right now. I know it's warm here in St. Paul. Want to get a t-shirt, get a cap. We got all kind of cool merch right now. It's all available over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, good stuff. You know what's funny is there's actually one prop that I did not mention that I'm on tonight. And I purposely did not mention it because I saved it for bargain bin. I just want to make sure the price is still good. Yeah, it is still good. All right, it is my bargain bin, and we'll get to that in just a moment. All right, great turnout in the chat. We appreciate it very much. Almost 400 live viewers. Hit the like button if you haven't done so already. We will be back with our bargain bin special of the night and our best bet coming right up right after we hear from our great daily sponsors, our good friends at Boston Hemp Inc. All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at BostonHempInc.com. All right, it is time for Bargain Bin Special of the Night. Alex hinted at it earlier, what he likes for his Bargain Bin Special. Where are you going with it?
Yeah, heading out to Hollywood, and we're looking at the, it seems like it's going to be eventual Calder Trophy winner, Connor Bedard for the Chicago Blackhawks. We're going to take him two different ways. First goal scorer overall, plus 1,600 available at FanDuel, and then first away team goal scorer, so first to score for the Hawks, you get that price at plus 650. So we're going to split that up two ways. Bedard to get the first goal for the Hawks, plus 650. Bedard to get the first goal of the game overall, plus 1,600. That's my bargain bin special for the last day of the regular season.
All right, I like it. There we go. Final bargain, final regular season bargain bin special of the night. It's not going anywhere. We're going to have it, of course, every day for the playoffs. Of course.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. And there'll be some good spots too. There's no question. All right. My bargain bin special of the night. I actually purposely omitted talking about this because I wanted to save it for this segment. It is indeed bargain bin worthy based on the price. We have a defenseman for the Calgary Flames looking to get to 20 goals this season, Mackenzie Weegar. And he has talked about he wants the mark. He has talked about, and they've also talked about, Ryan Huska said something where 20 goals for a defenseman especially is something that's really meaningful, and it's something that you don't see all the time. And I think there's going to be a real onus. I don't know if they're going to go to the extremes that Toronto did last night with Austin Matthews to get Mackenzie Weegar the puck in a shooting position tonight to get that 20th goal. But I think also the overshots on goal correlated with this is probably worth a look. But I think that from everything I've read with the Flames before tonight's game, Weegar wants 20. They want to get 20 for him here tonight in this game. So let's go with that for my bargain bin special of the night. He has 19 goals, 20 goals season for any defenseman in the NHL is pretty impressive. It's something you can put on the mantle, if you will. Mackenzie Weegar for the Calgary Flames, plus 360 at FanDuel. That is going to be my bargain bin special for my final bargain bin special for the regular season. All right, best bets. Alex, we'll start with you. What do you like for best bet?
Yep, same game with Chicago, LA. We're going with that first period over 1.5, anywhere between $1.25 or cheaper with that spot. Soderblom confirmed in net. Not much more to say. We just go first period over Blackhawks Kings. That's the final best bet of the regular season.
All right, Chicago, LA, over 1.5 first period. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. My best bet for this Thursday card, I'm going to just go with Edmonton, Colorado, over 6.5, minus 125. Colorado's just on this crazy over streak. I mean, I think it's 6 or 7 in a row that Colorado games have gone over the total. So it's, and we know that, you know, Onanen is in. You could argue that Onanen may be even slightly better right now than Georgiev, but he's still not someone I fully trust to shut the door. Yeah, it's 6 straight overs, I should say, for Colorado coming into this game tonight. Edmonton, you look at the way they've played since the positioning has been solidified. They played a 9-2 game against San Jose and a 5-2 game last night against Arizona. Both of them went over the total. Pretty relaxed atmosphere, loose type of game. Nobody blocking shots. Playoffs around the corner. Obviously, skill and firepower galore with both sides. So Oilers Avs over 6.5 for my final regular season best bet here on the Ice Guys show. All right, that'll wrap up this edition of the show. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. And a reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. For Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Thursday night. Enjoy the final night of the regular season, and good luck. The playoffs are here, baby. Stanley Cup playoffs preview show coming your way tomorrow on a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.